It's not to be for Liverpool in the Carabao Cup again after two previous Wembley final appearances. Much changed Liverpool lineup. Some youngsters like Kieran Morrison making his debut, losing 3-0 to a very strong Crystal Palace side, with the likes of Pino and Saar, Mateta coming on, Gehi and Marshall at the back. Liverpool actually did okay in the first 35 minutes or so. Rio Engamoa with a curler just wide, then Chiesa with an effort from an angle saved by Benitez. Liverpool huffed and puffed, had possession, but they just lack quality to trouble a well-organised Palace side. Ismaila Sarr scored two goals either side of half-time, just before and then just before again. Sarr has this habit of scoring against Liverpool, doesn't he? Pino wrapped it up with a goal in the second half, and Maranello coming on, and an unwanted statistic, two Liverpool appearances, two straight red cards. Disappointing, the lads worked hard, but Liverpool 0, Palace 3.
Steve Hunter there, wrapping up a tough night for the Reds as Crystal Palace beat a heavily rotated Liverpool side in the Carabao Cup fourth round. I'm Mark Benstead, and coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot on the encounter at Anfield. And before we do that, though, let's get the thoughts of Jay Spearing and Natasha Dowie, who join me pitchside after the full-time whistle. There's no hiding, it's a disappointing result, disappointing performance in a lot of ways. Tash, what do you make of it in the cold light of day now, in the aftermath of it, with the decisions the manager's made in terms of his selection? Villa was the number one focus. Do you think he just now lives by that decision?
Yeah, I think he does. I think I was a little bit surprised there wasn't a few more first team players maybe on the bench. But I also think, you know, injury wise, we are struggling a little bit at the moment. Villa is the priority. I think that we have to trust the manager. You know, he's done great last season, won the Premier League. I think it's an opportunity for the young kids. And to be honest, right now, I think he would have learned a lot from what he's seen tonight. And for also a lot of these young players, yes, it's incredible. Also, it's a big learning curve for them. They can tell the step up is huge, and they've experienced that tonight. So as a fan, you obviously want to see this club winning games, but also sometimes, you know, you have to look bigger picture. And we've been spoiled, you know, we're used to winning. But actually, I think we've got to look bigger picture, and actually there's going to be a lot of positives for those players in the future that have come out tonight.
Well, that is perhaps the way to look at it. We have been spoiled in recent seasons. We've been used to progressing in this tournament to the latter stages, to finals, going through generally in competitions. Occasionally there are bumps you cannot go through to the finals of every cup, get to the knockout, sort of the last few kind of days of a league season in contention. Every year there'll be bumps along the way.
Yeah, there will be, and especially with the situation that we are in at the moment. You know, we're in a tough period, you know, and I think he has to keep his first team players fit and healthy. And I think today you can tell that was his priority. You know, he didn't want to risk it with anyone, not even putting anyone on the bench either. And I think that says a lot. I think it's good that players have got minutes. Endo, the likes of Robbo, have got good game time. You know, so there's absolutely positives to take from that. The score is disappointing, of course it is, to lose 3-0 at home. We're not going to shy away from that. We're Liverpool Football Club, but I also think, again, look at the players that were on the pitch. You know, for a lot of these, they're probably trained with the first team maybe once or twice. And again, you know, there's a lot of pressure then on Arne Slot. We have to probably get the result now, you know, against Villa. Moving forward, that has to be the case.
Yeah, it's intensified the focus on that game on Saturday. You know, Jay, you do know these young lads better than most of us. You work with them day in, day out, and it was difficult for you at times watching on with some of the moments some of them found themselves in. How do you think they will reflect on their experience tonight collectively?
I think they'll take a positive, even with the result. We can't give them experiences like tonight. We can't do that. We can give them as much information, as much guidance, and we can tell them, you know, scenarios in my career that have happened in games, and I can say, listen, you'll feel this when this happens, you'll feel this off the crowd, you'll feel this when you give your first ball away. But we will never be able to give them experiences like they have tonight. So I think a lot of them, probably all of them, will take moments from it that they'll enjoy. They will learn so much more than we could ever give them. I felt Ramsey came out with a lot of credit tonight, if you want my honest opinion. I felt he was solid right throughout. He ran forward. I'd like him, if I'm being ultra critical on him, that I'd love him to see him flying down that wing a little bit more. Kieran was solid. And then, you know what, I felt the foundation, Cade came on, making an impact. The two centre-backs, listen, for O'Mara, we'll get around him. I'm sure he learned from the first one. He's going to have to learn from the second one in moments that when he does step up, he's going to have to be a little bit more detailed on his passing. But listen, he's a strong-minded boy. We'll get around him, we'll support him, and he'll be back because he came back from the first one. And then Wellity come on and showed glimpses. So listen, as an academy, we pride ourselves on giving these boys these opportunities. The managers give them the opportunity, and there's a lot of credit and a lot of positive to take considering the scoreline.
On Young Nello, what do you do in that situation? He's obviously had these two games now, two red cards, the one today, the one previously in Eindhoven. Is it a case of just sit down with him, put your arm around him, talk about it, talk about what he could have done better, what his decision-making process is, how he pushes it off? What's the process there?
The process now is that you have to remember he's 18 years old. Everybody's start of their career is different. You know, for some people it can be as positive as ever. It can, you know, scoring a goal. It can be coming on and lighting the place up, you know, making a tackle, whatever. For Amara, it's a little bit of a different start for him. You know, he's had two opportunities. They haven't gone clearly as he would have liked them to. But as a staff and as an academy and as a football club, we all just get around him. You've seen straight away, Aaron was straight down the tunnel with him to support him, make sure he was okay. Tomorrow we'll be in with him. We'll make sure he's all right. We'll speak about it. You know, we'll ask him how he feels. Is he okay? Does he want to speak to Lee Richardson, the club psych? And listen, we'll be there throughout day in, day out to help him get better. And we'll show him how he can improve, and he'll kick on, and it won't be the end of him. You know, he'll learn huge amounts about it, and he'll step forward, and he'll be ready for the next opportunity to come forward.
Jay makes a very good point. People's careers take different trajectories. Some people come in, have an amazing debut, it all goes swimmingly, they get all the headlines, but then their career doesn't live up to that hype. Other guys have difficult starts, but then go up to greater heights. That could very well be what is in front of him, if he can take this and use it as in the right way.
I mean, I think when you look back at your career, you absolutely learn more from the tough moments. And, you know, he's got, hopefully, a 20-year football career ahead of him where there are going to be loads of highs, but also loads of lows. And I think, you know, when I was playing, when I talk to academy players now, I always say, don't let the highs feel as high as what they are, but also don't let the lows feel as low. You know, this is football. You know, it's not life or death. Absolutely, it's important. But, you know, bigger picture, you know, like Jay says, he seems like he's a strong character and he will come back from it. It's one football match, but he's got 20 years ahead of him and I'm sure he'll do very well and we'll be singing his praises one day.
We spoke pre-match about the ability, the talent, the excitement that Rio on one flank could offer, Kieran on the other. You spoke a little bit about Kieran a moment ago, Jay. Both maybe got into good positions in that first half especially. Is it decision-making that they'll look to improve on it and learn from in those instances?
Yeah, I think for me, you can see that Rio's been around the first team a little bit more. He's got that confidence that, you know, he came inside two or three times in the first half and took off a shot. I think the second one was probably the closest one out of all of them. I think then Kieran, that moment when he got played over the top by Robertson, he then got into the box and it was a little bit like, you know what, he's probably trying to impress a little bit too much, maybe to find the pass, you know, and make the right decision for the team. Could he have maybe took a touch or maybe took a shot himself? He'll have to learn from that. But yeah, Rio will always impress people with his step over, his tight feet, his movement. He's been around the first team a little bit more than what Kieran has. So you can see that he felt and he seemed to be a lot more calmer on the ball. You know, he felt a bit more confident. Kieran bedded his way on. And listen, for the first start for Kieran, I felt it was a real solid performance. You know, he didn't do much things wrong. You know, he ran around, he tackled, he pressed right. The manager, you could see the manager was telling him to jump Guy. A difficult person to go and press, by the way, in England international. So, yeah, Kieran done a really solid night tonight and I'm sure he'll take a lot of experience from it.
I mean, look at the match stats. There's not that much between the two teams. And it kind of underlines the point, Tash, that, you know, especially in that first, 40 minutes before the first goal, Liverpool were in control of the game, were the better side in the game. But at the top end, just not enough cutting edge, not asking enough questions of Benitez in the Palace goal, really.
Yeah, I think till the first goal, really, you know, I think we looked quite comfortable. And then to concede, you know, before half-time is never ideal, let alone two goals within 5 minutes. And then it does kill the game, you know, because then you probably look to the bench and you think, is there players that can maybe come on, really impact it in the second half? But I think that probably stat with one shot on target, that's something we're not used to seeing. You know, I think we've been probably one of the most creative teams in the Premier League this season, but maybe haven't been too clinical. So that's something that, yeah, but again, with the younger players, you know, it's hard, isn't it, to criticise them too much when for a lot of them are making their debuts and for a lot of them they haven't played together.
I think you made the point right at the off, Tash. The one thing maybe where if the manager's sitting down tomorrow and reflecting on the selections he's made, the decisions he's made, it's maybe the fact he didn't give himself a few more options on the bench when it did go difficult for us, that he had something to turn to rather than just the young boys. Maybe a couple of the older boys who were watching on tonight, a lot of them, maybe having a couple of them as his options. Maybe something he'll look at.
Yeah, maybe. But I also think when you're 2-0 down at half-time, he wouldn't have made changes in the first half. So then, you know, could they have really had an effect to bring the game back? You're asking them to score, what, 2 or 3 goals. Obviously, it would have gone straight to penalty. So it's a big ask. I'm excited. Obviously, Jay, I'm going to be in at the academy tomorrow. Jay will be in and around it. We'll see the reaction. But again, I think Arna's done enough, you know, to kind of allow him to have this period. And, you know, he'll be honest as well with himself. Like he has said, he has to look at himself, but also the players do. But for me as a fan, I was excited to see some players get opportunities. And I think we have to look at it like that.
Yeah. Sorry, I can understand the point of maybe not having some on the bench, but like you say, if they're not going to make changes at half time, they're probably going to make changes at 60 to 70 minutes. Do you want to risk a couple of players at 20 minutes of football? Mm-hmm. You know, I can understand exactly why the manager's done what he's done. I felt we still had, you know, Cade Gordon, Trent Coney-Doherty to come on the pitch and affect it. But you can't put too many on the field, so it's kind of a risk-reward one. You know, if you want to throw a few of the big guns on for 20 minutes, are they getting anything out of it when they can, you know, they're looking towards Saturday and then Tuesday and then Saturday again? They're three huge games. So for me, I can totally see why the manager's made his decisions and what he's done, especially with them three games coming forward.
Yeah, and ultimately, it's the manager's prerogative. He gets paid to make those decisions. He has difficult choices to make sometimes. He's looked at it and thought, you know, we've got three really big, difficult games on the horizon. Injuries in some areas, issues in some areas. I'm going to take the risk, and then you live with those consequences.
Yeah, and I also think that if you do look at the injury list, you know, it's not one that we're quite. It doesn't leave us with many. I think the weekend we had probably 3 young lads on the bench included after injuries. We then picked up Curtis Jones' injury, so I don't think he's well. I don't know if he's in it too much, but he's not really in a position where he can really risk the big guns to come and maybe come and get on for 20 minutes if they're not warm enough. You know, it's a cold night, and I'm going into a little bit of dinghy, but, you know, it's a cold night, they sat on the bench, it's blown a gate, it's teaming down. Yes, and I get the professional footballers, and they, you know, they can play, but the bigger picture, the manager made a decision, and he's made a decision that Tuesday and Saturday are, I wouldn't say they're more important, but it's an opportunity for players to get minutes. McAllister, Endo, Chiesa get minutes, and then he can make a decision going forward from there.
And ultimately, Arna can point to the fact that he won us the league last year based on his decisions, so his judgment has proved pretty sound up until this point. Let's park tonight. Mm-hmm. In the bigger picture of things, we can't ignore the run of results we've been on. We have to return almost to the first chat we had tonight pre-match. It's how do we shake ourselves out of this run of results? We can talk about good amounts of performances in some of the games, but ultimately the results haven't been there. As an individual, before we look at the team, what would you want to do, Tash, if you were still playing now, to try and affect a change in the run of results?
I think first and foremost, you know, off the pitch, I think is so important. So whenever you see things on social media, the lads look like a tight bunch, you know, drinking their coffee at the training ground. You know, you have to bring that positivity off the pitch first and foremost. But then for me as a player, it's working, you know, working on your game. You know, I was always the first to train in, practicing my finishing after, you know, and it sounds basic, but for me, get them feeling good again in their game, whether it is you want to work on your 1v1 battles, whether it is you want to work on actually defending set pieces, so let's throw that in and we dominate our area as a midfield player, getting on whatever these players need to do to make them feel better come this weekend.
Do you let yourself get a bit angry sometimes when results don't go your way? Would you be looking at it and saying, I'm annoyed that we've not won enough games, I'm annoyed that people are sort of dismissing us, we're the champions, we were so good last year, let's go and show a few people?
Yeah, and I think that's from any footballer in the world. I think any footballer that loses a game of football, you feel angry about it. You don't want to lose games of football, and they're not doing it on purpose. It's just in the moment that we're in, we're finding it a little bit more difficult than what it was last season to win games of football. For me, it's just about, you know, as an individual, you just have to work that 5% harder, whether it be in the gym, whether it be in training, whether it be... I think you have to find what makes you gain confidence or what makes you feel good. You know, if it is doing a little bit of extra finishing, if it is doing a little one-on-one duels, if it is maybe a bit of passing as a midfielder or receiving, if it is, you know, in the gym, I want to be a little bit stronger. Try and find them moments or them gains that can get you back feeling confident. So then when you're going into the next game of football, you feel as a collective. It also probably comes to what Sash says, like that team bonding. You need the team togetherness more than anything right now. You know, there's nowhere to go. This is the squad. This is the team. This is the staff, and we've got to stick in it together. There's nowhere to go. Let's go out and let's brawl our sleeves up and let's go and fight. And that's what the club have got. That's what the team and the staff and everyone here, the fans included. That's what we've got to do.
I was going to say, I think that last point is the most important. Absolutely, the players have to give the fans something to cheer about. It can't always be down to the fans, but I don't think, well, these fans know how important they are. And I think as a player that's played at Anfield, you know, when you hear that crowd getting behind you, they're massive. You know, at this moment in time, the fans are huge for this football club.
But also on that attitude, that approach, it's a case of players can't come into training, be it tomorrow, be it the next day. I feel sorry for themselves. Yeah, you need big personalities. Yeah. You want loud players.
That's the best bit of football. The best bit of football, it sounds a bit crazy. The best bit of football is always the next game. Mm-hmm. And there's always the next opportunity to make it right if you feel as if you've done it wrong. Do you understand what I mean? Like, you know, the next game's coming in 3 days. There's no time. And, you know, obviously tonight the players, the staff, the fans will, you know, talk about this. So they'll talk about everything to do with the game. But then the next one's on Saturday at 8 o'clock, Aston Villa at home. And we have to wipe this slate clean, come tomorrow morning. Okay, probably people will reflect on it. I'm sure the manager will look over the game and see, you know, certain points and certain individuals of how they've played. Are they ready for the weekend? Fitness-wise, with the fitness staff, they'll get their recovery and do everything. But the best thing about football is there's always the next game coming around the corner.
There is always a next game, and that next game is Aston Villa, as Jay's just mentioned. It is on Saturday night. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. Last time that Aston Villa came to Anfield, what I remember from that game is that was a Saturday tea time or evening game. And I'm sure City dropped points that day and we won. And it was a moment when it really felt like we were into the title race in a really good shape. This result this weekend could be massive. It could inject life again into the season. Not necessarily a title race here and now, but could really inject something back into this group, couldn't it?
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah, there's no hiding away from it. We have to start winning games, and especially at home as well. And with regards to the run of games, we want to be in and around it, you know. We want to be in that title race come the end of the season. So we have to start this run of form. And I think there's no easy game right now. But Villa is a game that, you know, I expect us to win. Yeah, I really do, with everyone fully fit. Hopefully everyone's come away from tonight fully fit as well. And the crowd, like I said, get behind the boys and let's really start this run.
If we look at the league table.
Quickly, I think, what a week of football, by the way. What a week of football to go into. You know, everything that's going on over the last couple of weeks. What a week of football. Aston Villa at home, Real Madrid at home, and then going to City. This could change everything going forward as a player. You should be looking forward to this, going, wow, come on, let's go and change the season, let's kick on, and what an opportunity to do so.
If we show the league table, underlines the improvement in Aston Villa, and Villa are actually a good example of what can happen in the game. They'd started the season poorly. They didn't actually win a game until the back end of September. Then all of a sudden, apart from one slip up in Europe against Go Ahead Eagles, I think it was, they've basically won every game since, and they've hauled themselves back into the top half. That's how quickly things can change, Jay. It's putting a run of results. You get the first one, and then that can be the springboard for more.
With the quality of every single team in this Premier League, you could win one or two games in a week and you could jump from 12th to 6th or 12th to 5th, and you could be right in the mix. I wouldn't, as much as I don't want to see Liverpool in 7th position, and I don't want to see us on 15 points, I'd love to see us on more. You still can't write us off. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a hell of a long way to go in this season. There's going to be huge twists and turns between now and the end of the season. Going forward, and within this week going forward now, we could win, fingers crossed, we win back-to-back league games, we win against Real Madrid, we get 6 more points, we're on 21, we could be sat in 4th. And then the whole picture changes. That's how quick and how quick football can change. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you know, each game will come quicker and quicker. The players will get, you know, they'll start to find the rhythm. The world-class players, it's gonna hit a point where things start to click. Things will get going. The manager will find his way again with the players. The players will find the way with the manager, tactics and whatever he wants to do. And Liverpool will be back there again.
As I mentioned, Villa are a team that are a good example of what can happen, mm-hmm. how quickly things can turn around. They were in a similar situation. They have an excellent world-class manager. His pedigree is there for all to see. Everyone from the outside looking in felt it was only a matter of time before they found their groove, and that's what has happened. That could happen again.
Yeah, they're a great team. Yeah, they've done really well the last couple of seasons, and like you said, they've found form. But I think going back to us, you know, you want to finish the season strong. So, you know, yes, this period is strong, but actually come business end of the season, you know, that's when we want to be finishing the season really strong.
Matty Cash in the goals for Villa of late, important goals. The winner, of course, most recently against Manchester City. They've got players who found a bit of rhythm and form. He's won. Buendia's come back in from the cold and really impressed for them.
they've got threats that we need to be wary of come Saturday?
Yeah, of course you do. You know, it's a squad that they've got. He's built that over the last couple of seasons. It's not been done overnight. Matty Cash down one side, Dina down the other side, you know, Konsa in the middle, Kamara, I really like Kamara as well. McGinn is an absolute engine. He can run all day long, but you're also forgetting Watkins. Watkins is an international footballer that scores goals at Premier League all the way through. So, listen, when they come in on Saturday, it's not going to be easy. Liverpool are going to have to be switched on from day one, from the first minute. And they're also going to get ready for more set pieces because obviously the likes of Onana will be in there. He's a threat from them. And just like anybody else, he's built a side that can fight in the Premier League, and we have to be ready for it.
I guess the challenge now for the manager is what team he picks to face them, given what he has at his disposal. Yeah. Jay touched on some of the injuries and slight issues that the players are managing. What do you think will be in his thinking? I guess maybe particularly in that midfielder, where we've seen a couple of games where Florian Wirtz has played in there, a couple of games where he's been taken out. Mm-hmm. How do you think the manager will look to strike a balance between the defensive responsibilities and also wanting to cause Villa a lot of problems, ask a lot of questions at the weekend?
I think it was interesting seeing the back five today. I don't think he'll go with that. I think that was more because of the younger players today, but I do think that's a possibility as well. And then you could have an Isak and Ekitike in the two up top. I think, you know, Azobasai is a must with his energy in there, and I would bring Robbo back in because I just think right now, you know, Kirk is finding a little bit hard. You know, you can't fault his work rate, but I just think with Robbo's experience and, you know, can manage the game a little bit more, dictate the tempo when we need to go slow, when we need to speed up. So maybe just bring in a couple more heads that we know what to expect from them. I think that's really important. And then, yeah, like I said, I think all the other players have played well. You know, you've got to play Mo, you know, get him back in form. He obviously scored last game, but probably hasn't been performing as well as we would hoped. But Ekitike for me is a must as well. He's been flying, scoring goals, you know, really like. So we've got options. We really have. But it's just about building those relationships. And I think that's the tricky thing right now is who he's going to play and allowing those players to start building.
What will Alexis and Swataro have got from their involvement tonight with a view to the weekend and the games to come in the next 7-10 days?
The main thing is fitness. That's the biggest one. They'll get fitness. They'll try and feel a little bit of a rhythm into their game with a bit of a mixed start that McAllister's had. And they've obviously picked up an injury and he had to pull out of the Japan international break. So he's now finding his feet again. But for me, the biggest one would obviously be the Robertson, the McAllister, and they just get fitness. They need minutes, they need time in their legs, they need to find their rhythm of a game, you know, feeling in that impact, the speed of the game, the feel of it, you know, fighting for second balls, winning first balls, second balls, feeling that touch. You know, you can't beat and you can't replicate playing on Anfield or any stadium. Training, you can do as much as you want in training, but the only time you ever get the real fitness is when you're playing games, and that would have been the main thing I felt, well, I believe, probably from the manager tonight for them. And now he put himself in contention for the weekend, and then the rest of it, the manager will, you know, he'll probably already leading into the weekend, will know his side.
When you say rhythm, for those of us who haven't been professional footballers, what do you mean by rhythm within a game?
Rhythm is it's probably physical, but it's also mental. You know, finding that rhythm of knowing when the press is coming. Do I play one touch? Do I play two touch? Finding that touch of a feel when I receive the ball. Am I picking up second balls? Am I following the rhythm of the play? Is my fitness able to, you know, to go to run forward, to run back? Is the positioning of where I want to receive the ball? There's so much to rhythm that like, you know, that you need as a player. But for him, how he probably dictates his game is on the ball. Finding that rhythm of his touch, of his receiving with his left, receiving with his right, receiving in tight spaces, how does he get out of it? His short pass and his long pass, and that's all sort of like different types of rhythm that we'll try and get into his game.
Yeah. Injuries and suspensions along the way have caused issues in terms of selection. He's had to change it perhaps more than he would have wanted to at times. Yeah. Is getting into a more settled and more a rhythm of a selection something that could help us as well? Albeit we're probably not going to play the same 11 players every game, but if we get into it, it's one change here, two changes here. Is that going to help Liverpool get results in the coming weeks?
I think it's important. I really do. And I think at times he's been forced to have to, you know, manage a Bradley's minute. So then Szoboszlai goes right back. And you don't really want to lose Szoboszlai from the midfield because, in my opinion, he's been probably the best player so far this season for Liverpool and no one has his energy. And then at times then he's had to move back into midfield. You know, Wirtz, you know, we can see what he's about, but again, the physical side coming from the German league. So I think you're spot on there. I think that you have to make changes at times, but one or two is ideal. At the moment, week in, week out, you wouldn't be able to tell like what the Liverpool team's going to be, and that's never ideal, especially when you are going through a tough period.
Well, Slot's had to spin some plates of late. He had some big decisions to make ahead of tonight as well. What does he make of the result here today and the performance of his side? Let's find out. He's inside now, speaking with Pete.
Well, boss, disappointed, obviously, to go out tonight. What did you make of the performance?
First half hour, decent. We were in the game. I think we were probably having the better chances. Close to a goal once or twice. But after we conceded the 1-0, and then just before half-time 2-0, then you always know that it's going to be very difficult because we've played them four or five times now in the last four months. And only once we've managed to score twice against them, that was the Charity Shield. And I think all the other were games we were only able to score one. And then with a team that's not always playing together, you know, then things are going to get very difficult in the second half.
Tricky balance for you with injuries stacking up and obviously the week ahead as well. Was that the balance you try and strike with the team that you select tonight?
Yeah, it's a bit of everything. So we did exactly the same last season in games like this. But then probably didn't feel like this because when you looked at the team, you were like, wow, what are they having a lot of good players? Now, these are the players that that are playing that are not our starters. And then if you have three or four injuries, then it's maybe a different team than it looked as last season. But that is something I already knew, and maybe everybody's seeing now, because I saw before I went out that City made 11 changes or 10 changes as well. But if I looked at their lineup, I felt as if they started with the first 11. With us having a few injuries, this is our reality. And like I said, in 2 days we play the next one, and a big week is coming up.
And it was always going to be a big week, wasn't it? Another three-game week. Maybe the advantage that you get almost a full week with the preferred starters before such big games.
Yeah, that's true. These players have played so many games already, and so many times with only 2 days of rest, with so many away games played. And if I looked at our performance against Brentford, where we've lost, in my opinion, too many duels, too many second balls, we didn't do the fundamentals right. Yeah, that could mean a lot of things, but what it also could have meant is that after 2 days after the Frankfurt game, not all of them are maybe ready for a schedule like this, which is not a complete surprise to me. If you look at their background, some of them miss pre-season, some of them are not used to playing at Premier League level and Champions League level, if you look at the players we've brought in. So that's a difficult balance then to find if you also have four injuries. But for me, it felt this was the right decision to make, to have the best possible chance to have a good week next week, where we again face three difficult teams, three good teams, let's put it that way. And first one is Aston Villa, as we know.
And just finally, the crowd appreciating you going through a tough time at the moment. The players are going through a tough time. Those that stay behind singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" at the end, it's poignant in moments like this.
Maybe that was, for me, the most positive thing tonight, that if there's a performance where we're 2-0 down, 3-0 down, the fans were still helping us. And I think they feel what we feel, that it is a difficult time at the moment. And I'm, after tonight, even more convinced that they will be incredible for us on Saturday.
Thank you.
I think what was really interesting, what the manager had to say there, Jay, you know, we spoke pre-match about how he had looks to address some of the issues we've had in recent weeks. He's looked at it and thought, we lost too many duels against Brentford. Is that down to players being too fatigued? I'm going to leave some boys out here tonight. So we can't really complain about the selection here if there's a logic like that behind. It's interesting to see the working to his decision there.
Yeah, listen, it was never going to be a decision just off the cuff. There was always going to be reasons to behind his decisions and why he selected the team he did, why he left so many out, why he had so many youngsters on the bench. It's always planned, like I said, like going into the weekend now, it's probably planned well before tonight. You know, he's already got his ideas leading into next week. So this game that came in this date, probably before even the Brentford game, he probably knew already that he was going to make a lot of changes because of, obviously, off the back of the Frankfurt one to go so quick into Brentford, to then come into the Palace one, to then go into Villa one. He had to make changes. It was inevitable. So I totally get why he's done it. I get why some fans would probably say, why wasn't a few boys on the bench? But what do we gain from having a few of them boys on the bench leading into the week that we are leading into?
Interesting as well, he's sort of looking back at the workloads of the players coming into it. He mentioned the international games, he mentioned the things over the summer, the injuries, new players coming to the league. There's all these different factors into why players perhaps do need to be managed. It's not as if everyone's coming in, same level of fitness, ready to go and play the same amount of minutes. Certain players do need taking out the firing line here to recover and go again for what is three very big games against very good sides.
Yeah, I think if you really strip it back, and we're not looking for excuses, but you're missing your number one goalkeeper. You know, Frimpong then pulls his hamstring. Bradley hasn't had a pre-season, so then Szoboszlai's filling in. You lose then one of your centre-halves, Leone, the new Italian, ACL injury. You know, you could go through the team. McAllister hasn't had a full pre-season, so he's managing his fitness. You know, then you've got your Mo Salah's new relationship, you know, has had Trent playing behind him the whole time. You know, that then affects his game. You know, the relationship on the other side, you know, throughout the whole team, there's been these, you know, challenges, absolute challenges. And it's not making excuses for the boys, but it is going to take time. And in football, you don't have time. And we all understand that. But I also think stripping it back, we're excited. This squad is exciting. When it clicks, it is going to be exciting. And it will click sooner rather than later. But right now, we just have to get behind them, support them, and they'll come good.
That is all we've got time for on this episode of The Reaction. Thanks to Jay and Tash for their company tonight, and to all of you for listening. We'll be back again here from Anfield on Saturday night after the Premier League clash with Aston Villa. Until then, if you haven't already, then please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'll make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.